Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you that this place, this church, is a safe place. And we ask you to just cover this place. Psalm 90 says we rest under the shelter of your wings. And Jesus, in your name, we declare this a safe place, a good place for us to be. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister to each of our hearts? Would you give us hope, strength, and courage to keep going? And all these worries and all these fears and all these things that bother us about this world, we pray for them and we place those concerns into your hands. Knowing that you're in charge, you're sovereign, you've got this world. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. What worries you about all that's going on in the world? Unfortunately, with the help of the news on TV and the internet, it's easy to know too much and get overwhelmed with all that is going on. And I remember talking to a church elder in a previous church telling me that we're actually not meant to know all that we know about what's going on in the world. It's too much for us to handle. And so I've said it before and I'll remind us again. Let's limit the number of times we check the news in a day. It's so easy, but the news doesn't change that fast. But every time we check the internet, we check our news feed, or we get notified that something else happened, it's just an old headline to what's already going on. So I want to encourage us, just stop watching the news as much. We want to be informed, but don't check it 6-7 times a day. Okay? Just for your own mental being and emotional being. So, don't panic. It's actually in the Bible where Jesus says, don't panic. There is nothing haphazard. There is nothing haphazard or accidental about Jesus. Everything he did was intentional and with purpose. Even the many interruptions were all part of his mission. There is nothing haphazard. And over these few weeks, we're walking through Mark 11, Mark 12. Today we're going to talk about the book of Mark 13. Next week will be 14, and then 15, and then 16. I want us to watch how Jesus is walking towards, not running, he's walking towards his own crucifixion and his resurrection. And watch how that's all coming to. Now, don't you love it when a person doesn't answer the question that you've asked? You ask a question, and they just go all, and they never answered your question. Many do that. I won't mention the politicians. But there's many people that you ask a direct question, and they go this way or that way. And some of them do it on purpose. Maybe they don't know the answer, or they don't want to answer the question for various reasons. The four disciples of Jesus wanted to have a private conversation with Jesus. And they asked a great question, and Jesus gives them a total different answer. Even Jesus did, and he had his reasons. Now, let's track where we've been going over these last number of weeks. Jesus had, and we'll talk about it next week, but as we're following through, Jesus had just had his triumphal entry. He walks in, looks around the temple, and then goes back to Bethany. Then he's leaving Bethany. Somehow he's hungry and he curses a fig tree. Then he walks in and he clears the temple of the money changers and all the noise that was prohibiting worship, that was keeping the Gentiles from worshiping, because that's where they were meeting, in the Gentile area of the temple, and they couldn't worship. And then his authority is challenged and questioned a number of times by all the religious leaders. And then he tells a story, which we talked about last week. He tells and warns of the story of the vineyard owner and how they were the tenants of that vineyard threw out anybody who came to get their part. And then he's questioned, we didn't get into it, but he's questioned about who to pay taxes to, Caesar or to God. Then he's questioned about the most important commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself. Then he sits down and he's watching. He's just beside the temple and he's watching an offering spot where many are putting in their money. And then he watches a poor woman give everything that she had into the temple, into the temple offering. He's sitting there just watching. What's going on? Then, as he's about to leave, the disciples share with him the amazement of the great temple and other buildings that surrounding it. But Jesus tells them these buildings will be destroyed. And then he walks on. Now, it happened in 70 AD. The whole temple, everything was just raised to the ground. Not R-A-I-S-E-D. R-A-Z-E. Just raised to the ground. Just destroyed. Nothing standing on nothing. And some archaeologists say that we actually can't find out where the original temple was. It was that obliterated around 70 A.D. And then we see how Jesus is going across into, as we're getting into Mark chapter 13, he goes across the valley, and then he just sits down, and he's just looking across the valley at the temple. He's just sitting all by himself. Now, in the text it says, and then the disciples came and talked to him, but I think he probably sat for a quiet spot for quite a while, just looking. He's remembering all that just happened, everything he had just gone through, all the words of attacks and challenging of him, and everything that going into the temple and clearing out all the money changers, which I assume probably all went back the very next day. They had business to keep. And he's sitting there just watching and looking and thinking, maybe even weeping. Maybe shaking his head, probably praying, Father, what is going on with our people? What's going on? And then you go into Mark chapter 13, and the disciples come up to him, just four of them, and want to have a private conversation. Tell us, when is that temple going to be destroyed? What's going on? Can you tell us how it's going to happen? And then in Mark chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, this is how he answers it. This is how he answers it. Look at it. Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many." Did that answer the question? Yes or no? No. He didn't answer the question. He went off to the right or left or whichever way you want to look at it. He didn't answer the question. He warned them that many will come in his name and claim, "I am the Messiah," and they will deceive many. And then he says, and then you will hear of wars, and threats of wars, and then he says, don't panic. Don't panic. Well, that's easy. Don't panic. That's what he's saying. You're going to hear about all this kind of thing. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Now, as I was studying over the last couple weeks, I was looking at Mark chapter 13, and I'm going, what is Jesus really trying to focus on? What's he trying to teach his disciples? And what's he trying to teach us? He's looking forward. He's looking at the current disciples, and he's looking at us as disciples. He is about to end his first coming. He knows that by the end of the week, he's going to be crucified. He's going to raise from the dead, and 40 days later, he's going to then go up to heaven. He knows his time is short. He's got a month and a half left. He must warn his current and future disciples. He must warn them and us of fake, deceiving, and impersonating messiahs. In fact, that is the theme of the whole chapter 13. Any of you have heard the phrase chapter 13? Any of you heard the phrase chapter? Do you know what happens when a company goes into chapter 13? Any of you heard that term? It means this business is about to go into bankruptcy. Chapter 13. That's why some hotels don't have the 13th floor. They have a 13th floor, but they don't put any rooms. Did you know that? There's a number of they believe ghosts are. No, that's something totally different. Right? But there, that number 13, we had 13 West Grove Bay was our house. And maybe that's why it didn't sell and we finally bought it. There's something about that 13. Chapter 13 is the bankruptcy thing in the courts, whereas you're given a little bit of time to try to figure out what you're going to do or you will lose your business. That's what it means. Mark, okay, chapter 13 in Mark. So you look at this chapter, and he's going through a bunch of teachings. I'm not going to go through all of it. We don't have that kind of time, all right? And one or two of you are already yawning. Just kidding. But he's warning us all the way through, and then he comes to verse 10. I don't think I have it on the PowerPoint, but he says, you will stand trial before government. Oh, yeah, I'm going to back up here. Sorry, it's not up there. When these things begin to happen, watch out. You'll be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. Well, we're in Canada. This doesn't happen here. But if you're familiar with the persecuted church, it happens all the time. Most of the other parts of the world, that's what's happening. Every time a Christian steps out of the door, every time a pastor steps out of the door, there's fear of them being arrested. It's real in much larger parts of the world than we realize. And then he says, for the good news must first be preached to all the nations. So there's a bunch of nations that need to learn about God. And right now, according to the Frontier Missions Group, there are 189 unengaged, unreached people groups, numbering over 5.7 souls. There are over 5.7 million souls around the world that have not heard about Jesus, have not seen a church, have not seen a Bible. And Jesus says, before the end comes, every people group, every nation, every ethos needs to hear about Jesus. Let's jump to verse 21. Jesus again warns, then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. I'm warning us, and Jesus is warning us, there will come a time when people will stand up and go, the Messiah's over there, go to him. Or the Messiah's over there, go to him. There will be false messiahs and false prophets and false teachers that will try to convince us. I'm warning us now. That's what Jesus is saying here. For false prophets, messiahs and false prophets will rise up and they will perform signs and wonders so as to deceive. I'm warning us. Don't give in. Just because somebody can do an amazing miracle doesn't mean we follow them. Remember in the Old Testament with Moses, there were many of the priests of Egypt that could perform miracles just like Moses. And if you go into the book of Revelation, it'll talk about the prophet and the beast and all of that. I'm not going there because that's too big a subject. But it talks about how they are going to create things and how they're going to do miracles and signs and wonders so as to deceive the nations. And Jesus is saying it here. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders so as to deceive, if it's even possible. He says, watch out, I have warned you about this ahead of time. You can't see it there, it's a little small. I'll work on that. Exclamation point. Watch out, he says. Be aware. It's coming. I pray and hope that none of us here would ever be deceived to think that the Messiah has shown up somewhere. I'm going to show you how we're going to see him and we're going to know it. Go to verse 26. He carries on. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. Now, you see it now. We're going to come to it. I'm going to back up. Why is Jesus answering the question that they didn't ask with the answer that we really needed to learn? Watch for the Messiah. Don't go for the false messiahs and the false prophets. Why is he warning us? Because as you look at all of Mark chapter 13, the heat of the world, the heat of what's going on, and we talked about that a little bit, what worries us, what concerns us, the heat of what's going on in the world is going, and I'm not talking temperature, I'm talking political, I'm talking environmental, I'm talking relationships, I'm talking about wars, all these kinds of things, and the persecution of the church, and everything, the heat's going to be turned up. And many Christians are going to be looking for relief. Hurry up, Jesus, and we can pray that. Jesus, come home, come back soon, come and rescue us, take us home with you. And we start looking for relief. And anytime somebody says, there's a Messiah over there, well, that's who we're looking for. And scores of people will run over to that Messiah. But he's warning us, just because the heat of the world is being turned up, just because it's getting tougher in the world, don't look for those Messiahs. Don't do it. I'm warning you, look for me, he says. And then he says, then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. He won't be on the earth yet. He will come in the clouds and everyone, can you say everyone? Everyone. He's warning us. Don't get deceived. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. I just did a funeral this last Wednesday in Altona, and I read this passage at pretty well every committal service that I do. Because it gives so much hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. At that church in Thessalonica, They're wondering, what happened? Because our loved ones have died. What's going to happen to them? What's it called? Because there were false teachers going around telling everybody the resurrection has already happened. The first resurrection, the rapture, whatever you want to call it, has already happened. People are already gone to heaven. And he's saying, don't believe it. He goes, now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. That was changing. So we'll grieve like those who have hope. I wish he would have put it in the positive. So we'll grieve like people who have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we believe that. Yes? Right? Yeah. Okay. We also believe that when Jesus returns, when, not if, when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly, because they're with them. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself, I love this, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel. I'm imagining an archangel is pretty loud. And the trumpet call of God, also very loud. When Jesus returns, everyone will know. The whole world will know. The whole world will see when he returns. We don't have to go look for a Messiah or look for him in the desert, look for him at the beach, look for him at the mountain. Everyone will know when he returns. The heat's being turned up. We're going through all kinds of turmoil in the world. Don't look for the false Messiah. Look for Jesus Christ, the true one that died and rose from the dead. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And I've got written right beside me the word enough, exclamation point. I love how Max Lucado talks about this particular verse. It's as if Jesus is going to show up, and with a loud voice, he's going to say, enough! Have you said that to your kids when they're fighting or whatever they're doing? Enough already! How many parents have said that? Okay? That's what Jesus, in a way, is going to say. He's going to yell it loud enough that this is enough world, enough sin, enough pain, enough viciousness and violence. Enough! It stops right now. I love that. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. So, I don't know how that's exactly going to work. It's not like they're in their graves, but their spirits are going to be united with their physical bodies, and they're going to be risen. Rise from the graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, think about that for a little bit, and that's where I'm going to end on that passage. I'm not going any farther on that. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine? We're going to be hanging there in air for a little bit. I don't like heights. Anybody with me? But that's what it says. We're going to, the ones that have died are going to be risen from the graves. They're going to go first, and the rest of us on earth are going to be lifted up. And we're going to be hanging there, because we're going to meet him in the air. Because everyone's going to see Jesus. And then they're going to see all the Christians up there with them, hanging in the air. I don't know how long, but that's what it says. Don't worry, if you can't handle heights, and you can't handle being in the air without an airplane, sure Jesus has us covered.
He'll help us. It'll be no problem. It'll be amazing. I can fly. I can hang. I can, I don't know. But that's what it says.
Then Mark chapter 13, going back to Mark 13. The very last verse. I say to you, what I say to everyone, watch for the Messiah, the true Messiah. So, the point is, as we get closer to the return of Jesus, the times will get more difficult. But don't let the pressure force us or move us towards trusting a false Messiah or a false prophet. That is Jesus' main concern. The apostles warned of deception about Jesus. They said it too. We will all know when Christ returns. So here are the questions. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of the end times? What are you afraid of? I don't know how it's all going to work out. Let me remind us that Jesus has you and me in the palm of his hand. He says that twice in the scriptures. Are you afraid? You don't need to be. He's God. Don't panic, he says. You don't have to be afraid. Next question. Are we busy trying to figure out how it will all happen? Now, there are many that really get it. I'm not one of those people. And we can sit and talk about the end times if you want. But I'm not one of those people that really spends all my time trying to figure out how it's all going to figure out. How it's all going to come together. I don't worry about it. But my warning to us that if you're like that, and that's just part of his personality. But don't miss out the point. Don't miss out the point of the Messiah Jesus. And unfortunately, there's some people that get so enamored about all that's going to happen at the end times that they miss the point of Jesus coming back. Third question. What do we do in the meantime? Live. Work, raise our families for Jesus, and be sure to pray and share Jesus with others. That's what we do. And then we pray, as the end of the book of Revelation talks about, come Lord Jesus, come soon. Mark 13. Be encouraged. Don't panic. Look for Jesus coming back. That's Mark 13.